Bibles with you this evening. If you need a Bible, we'll get you one. Open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. As we continue with our true Christian characteristics. Let me just see what the Lord wants to say to us tonight. Amen. Everybody ready? Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, he says, wherefore, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily doth beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. And tonight we're going to look at a new race, a new race. We're in a contest, and we're not in a contest with one another. It's a contest that all of us are going to help each and every other one. It's a team effort. It's not an individual effort. Individually, we want to help each other. So this is more like a relay race, amen? And we're all working together for the good. When I was looking at this, one of the things that the Lord was speaking to my heart about, and it's important for us to understand, is that we have a great audience, you know, and there's a lot of people that are watching, and you know, and one thing about a good contestant or a team member is, as we're in a team, we don't break the rules. Amen, amen. You commit fouls, you end up sitting on the bench. Okay, so. And we're not in a competition with one another. And one of the things you have to understand, this isn't a competition. And not even this church. This church isn't competing with any other church. Lord told me one time, he said it was like Baskin-Robbins ice cream. If you went to Baskin-Robbins, they had 32 flavors of ice cream. But all of them had milk. And there's all kinds of different flavors out there. And some flavors are tastier than other flavors. And some flavors, I don't even know why they have those flavors. I guess they're for somebody. Amen. Raspberry's God's favorite flavor. My wife, as a child, got sick from raspberries, and she's never been able to eat raspberries since. Amen. So first thing we're going to look at tonight, he says, we have an audience whereby I see that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. He says, let us lay aside every weight. And the first thing we're going to look at is the weight. The weight is anything that might burden you down or hold you down. One of the first things that really holds a lot of people back and holds them down is the past. And I want to speak in this area for a moment. So open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19. This is when Lot and his family were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Word of God says in verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And it's kind of interesting when you look at this and you study this out. You know, what happened to Lot's wife is she was lagging behind. She didn't want to leave Sodom. She stayed close. And the Bible says that fire and brimstone came down from heaven in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot's wife was caught in the midst of this, okay? And it's kind of interesting because there's a place that's called Jebel Uzdom, or Jebul Uzdom, and it's where Sodom was. and there's salt that's 1,000 feet deep, 3 miles wide, and 6 miles long. So Sodom and Gomorrah was turned into a pillar of salt by the fire and brimstone that came from heaven. Amen? And some of you look at that, and some people, so what happened is Jesus said this to you and I. He said, any man having put his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. You know, Lot heard the Lord. He was coming out, but his wife lingered behind, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. So first thing we find is one of the things that tries to hold us back from what God has planned in our life is things that are in our past. Somewhere along the line, we have to learn to let our past go. You know, it's called the past because it's behind you. And you'll hear me say this 1,000 times, if not 10,000 times, if not 100,000 times, that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And your new man isn't looking back to yesterday because yesterday's gone. There ain't one thing you can do to change what's happened in your past, but learn from it and move forward. Amen? Did you two stop slapping each other? Sisters sitting beside each other? It was an accident. Secondly, you know, one of the weights was their past. One of the second weights I see that holds people back is possessions. The stuff, the love for money. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus is calling a young man. In verse number 20, the young man said to Jesus, all things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And he's asking Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, God wants us to be blessed and have riches, but when our riches control us, when we have the love of money, he says the love of money is the root of all evil. He says, while some have coveted after, they've pierced themselves asunder. You know, they've harmed themselves. Jesus saw where this young man's heart was. His heart was in his belongings. And so he knew that God's word says in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, he was putting his things before God. Amen? God will bless you. Amen? There's nothing wrong with being blessed. You know how you're blessed the most? If you just keep giving. You can't outgive God. You keep sowing to others, and God will keep depositing. Okay? Amen. So he said the first thing, he said the past was a weight. Sometimes possessions are a weight or the love of things. And thirdly is pride. You know, that's a beast we battle with. In 1 Peter chapter 2, you know, Solomon said pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. But we're talking about weight, things that weigh us down. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11, he said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts which war against the soul. In other words, the coveting things all the time, needing to have stuff, the prideful things, amen? This is the weights that weigh us down, amen? I don't know about you, but I'm grateful. I run every day at the park, and everybody knows that I run, and I run about 5 miles, but I don't know what it would be like running carrying weights. You know, I imagine if I was carrying weights when I was running, I'd be going really slow. And I don't know if I could make 5 miles, okay? I don't know if I could do the distance. Because those cares and those concerns of this world would weigh me down and would limit what I could do. So God says to you and I, he says, we're not going to carry this weight, the weight of our past, the weight of possessions, and the weight of pride. Amen? He says, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt us in due time. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with being humble. Amen? Are you with me? He said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doeth so easily beset us. And we're going to say this is the warfare. Amen? The warfare. look with me in your Bibles. First, God calls us to finish. So look with me in James chapter 1. Let me say something to you. That every last one of us are going to be tempted some measure, somehow, some way. And James 1:12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away in his own lust and enticed. Excuse me, and enticed. I don't know what enticed is. That's a Holy Ghost word, I guess. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. You know? So he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doeth so easily beset us. Secondly, we have, we're in a fight. It's a battle. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10, man, I use this scripture so much for praying all the time. It's probably one of the main scriptures me and the Father speak over everything, and how we speak over darkness and wickedness and the things. I just remind the devil who I am and who he is. Amen? Sometimes we just need to remind the devil who you are and who he is. And the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. This isn't a carnal battle or a natural battle, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What the Lord was saying is, we're in a fight. This is a battle. Amen. He's saying to us tonight, as a team, we're fighting this fight together. We're walking together. We're not in a battle with one another, but we're in a battle with what's want to steal your joy, your peace, all those things that come to try to steal your joy. Amen? Amen? God has a plan in your life, and God's plan for your life is greater than anything this world has to offer. And the adversary wants to make it look like he's got a pretty picture for our life, but at the end, it's destruction. God's got a better plan for you. Matter of fact, he says in his word, he says, I know the plans I have for you. The plans he has for you are for good. And not for evil. He has plans that you have an expected hope and an expected end. See, God has a plan in every one of our lives. And all that the Father wants you and I to do is get into his plan. Amen? In other words, sometimes my plans aren't God's plans. Amen? Sometimes I have to adjust. Amen? How many have been through some adjustments in your life? Come on now. Come on. All right. You thought you were going the right way. You thought you were doing the same thing. How did I get here? And the Lord said, well, I never told you to go there. Then he said, then you go back where you made the turn. And you say, now where, Lord? Amen? And he gives you guidance and directions. That's why he says for you and I, seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. And I'm not seek him afterwards. Hello? How many times have we do things and then we just ask the Lord, can you bless this? And sometimes we're asking the Lord to bless something that's going to destroy us if we kept going in that direction. And God loves you so much, he couldn't bless that, could he? Hello? Are you with me? Amen. So to find, look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So he finds that we're in a warfare, we're going to finish the battle, we're going to fight the good fight, and we're going to find the desires of the Father's heart. Amen? As we continue to seek him. Thirdly, he says, wherefore, seeing we're accomplished about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, if you're running a marathon, it isn't over till you cross the finish line. Amen? So as we're going, it isn't over till it's over. And what the Lord is saying about the witness is the strength that comes from him. So look with me in Job chapter 17. Verse number 9. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that have clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Hello? His strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's why the Apostle Paul said, therefore, I'd rather glorify him, God, in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Amen? He says that the shine, and one of the things here in your handout, it says Proverbs 4:13, but it's Proverbs 4:18. So Proverbs 4:18, that was a Carl error. Yes, sir, what'd you say? Thank you. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for your unmerited favor that you're giving me. Listen to what Solomon says here. It's interesting because we're in a race. He says, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He says, but verse number 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. So the path of the just is like a shining light that's shining brighter and brighter. Amen. I think in the last days, in the glory of the Lord, that the church is going to arise and there's going to be a glorious church. And if you're looking at a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, I believe there's going to be, they're going to be glorious. The glory of the Lord is going to be shining in them through them. Amen. So it's also showing. So turn with me to the showing in 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is what the apostle's saying to his student Timothy. We're all in this room. We're all students of the gospel. We're all studying to show ourselves approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says in verse 15, he says, meditate upon these things. Meditate about what's said. Meditate about what's been read. Meditate upon the word. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. You know, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. Amen. Any thoughts, any questions? Everybody got it and ready to run with it? That's right. This is a team effort. This is a team effort. And that's what's valuable about the body of Christ. God never called anybody to be alone. He called everyone to be part of a body. Amen? Amen? And you know something? Looking around the room, guys, this lack of hair and this color of hair, you know what that speaks about? It speaks about wisdom. We've been through a lot. You know, the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom with all you're getting, get understanding. And you know what the problem with the new generation, the generation now? There's a no-so. I know everything mentality. And the problem is you haven't been through the storms of life to know everything. Amen? That there's people in this room that are here to help you. You know, to help you be the best person you can be. Amen? Amen? Because God has a plan for you. You have a great future. And the devil doesn't want you to succeed. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to ruin your life. And those things that he's putting in front of you that seem to be fun, at the end, they're destruction. You know, he's just trying to steal what God has for you. But what God says to you, that he doesn't want to let you go. He has greater plans for you, but you just have to submit to one another. You know, the Bible says submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Amen? That we submit to one another. I don't know everything. Joe knows a lot of areas of things that I don't know about. Joe has areas that I don't know about. You know some new age stuff that I don't have any idea. I'm like backwards when it comes to computers and things. I'm like in the Stone Age. Right? I'm learning. I'm a thumber. What do they call it? I used to hunt and peck. But let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. Young people, everyone in this room, I want you to hear something right now. Give me that thing. I got to say this. Where's this? This is not the Bible. This is not the Bible. This is the Bible. And every man, every woman, every child ought to carry a Bible to church. And if you don't have a Bible, come this Sunday or whatever, or next Wednesday or whatever, we're going to have Bibles for everyone. I want everyone to have a Bible. This is the most important book that you'll ever have in your life. And this book is left on the table most of the time, though. The book of life, the book that has every answer we need, is just laying there. And we're starting to look at Facebook to see how to live my life. Come on. Come on. We have the greatest thing. God gave us the very best. He gave us everything. You know, he gave us all power. He gave us all authority over all darkness and all wickedness. Amen. In other words, this word, if it gets inside of us, we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. He wants to strengthen us. He wants us to be successful. He doesn't want you to be broke and poor. He's a blessing God. I serve a God that gives abundantly. You know, he's a good God. Amen. That he loves you. But this is what we need, not this. Amen. This is being accepted. And I look at this thing, I look at this thing, in the back of it, there's an apple with a bite out of it. What does that represent? It represents what? It represents the sin. It represents the forbidden fruit. And if the symbol on it is saying sin, there's so much sin and darkness in this thing, it's wicked. And you know what, parents, I'm going to say something. You're bringing all the darkness into your home. You're opening doors and windows and avenues for your children that they have no business seeing. There's things that come in this thing that people are stealing children. They're stealing your children through this. They're coming into your home and they're stealing from you. They're stealing what God has given you. And it's time for the church to take a stand. Amen. It's time to take a stand. So, hey, we're coming to bring your Bible to church Sunday. And say, well, Pastor, I can't keep up. You don't have to keep up with me. Write down your scripture. And you know what? Yes, go ahead.
I've stand on this word for a long time. Proverbs 4:22. For there's life in those unto that find them, and health or medicine unto the flesh.
That's right. Amen. The word of God. 4:22, bringing health to you. Amen. Anybody? Any thought? I didn't mean to get off it. No, I didn't. The Holy Spirit did that. I didn't do that. Hallelujah. Amen. If you saw your child, just a young child, out playing the highway in 42, would you just, well, they'll learn their lesson. Mm-hmm. As a parent, is that what you would do? No, what would you do? What would you do? You would do everything you can to protect them. And we're living in an age in these last days where we got to do everything we can to protect our families and our children. Amen? And listen to me. There's nobody you bad. Don't misunderstand this. There is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk in the spirit and not in the that walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. You know, we're battling with the flesh. How many know that all of us have a lot of flesh to kill? Come on. Amen. We're all in the same room. Nobody's arrived yet. Amen. So we're all in this together. And God is saying to us, he says, wherefore, as a church, seeing your compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He that has begun a good work in you is faithful to see it through to completion. Hallelujah. Can we all just stand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we lift our hands to heaven? Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for every man and woman in this room tonight, Father God, and young person, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that the words that were spoken tonight, the things that were shared, would penetrate their hearts, Father God. that they would apply them to their hearts and their lives, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for the call that you called each and every one that is in this room. You called them by name. You sent your son to pay for their sins, Father God, and you opened up heaven for them, Father God, and you've made a way for them. So, Father, I pray for each and every one that's gathered in this room. Father God, I pray for a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, that we'd have a desire to get into your word, Father God, but not only to get in your word and to meditate upon it, but apply it to our hearts and our lives, Father God. And we'll never cease to give you praise for all you've done, all you're doing, and everything you're going to do. Now I speak blessings upon your children, Father God. May your face shine upon them. May your glory rise upon them in Jesus' name. Bless the food that we're about to partake of, and